Canby New Life Foursquare Church welcomes you. We're located at 2350 Southeast Territorial Road, just off Highway 99E. We hope the following message will be a blessing to you.
It's behind us, and we're looking into the new year. I just have to ask a question. What is it with these ugly sweater parties? I don't understand that. And I don't understand why I get invited to an ugly sweater party. Is it there's something wrong with my wardrobe? Is that what you're saying? And so I'm pretty offended by the whole thing. I had a youth, a worship pastor, just a great guy. He got invited to an ugly sweater party. So he goes to the thrift store to find one. And he's there, he found one, goes up to the counter, and he's kind of feeling funny about buying this odd-looking sweater. So he explains to the woman, I'm buying this for an ugly sweater Christmas party. And at that moment, a woman walked by wearing that sweater. This is not good. This is not good. A pastor of a church in Northern California, about the size of this church, had his leaders gather for a big ugly sweater Christmas party. They were going to have a really good time. There were some volunteers in the kitchen to help out. As it came to the time to select the ugliest of the ugly sweaters, they did not know that the volunteers in the kitchen did not know that this was an ugly sweater Christmas party. One of the ladies in the kitchen won. This is not good. This is not good. And it brings us to something that we're talking about this morning. Pastoring is not easy. And so this morning we're going to do something kind of fun. I am going to interview Pastor Ron, and we're going to hear a little bit of his story, perhaps some that you haven't heard. I'm sure some that you haven't heard. And in that, you'll be able to see how God has worked in some of the struggles in his life, and you'll be able to apply that to your own life, how God is working in your life in the midst of the struggles. Let's give it up for Pastor Ron.
Thank you.
Here we go. So I don't know if I should have a signed contract before all this to see if... Anyway, here we are. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Aw, shucks. Mm. Tell us something about you that we might not know.
I hate interviews. How about that? Does that help?
No.
Okay, no.
You've had some really tough experiences in the last couple of years. What would you say would be the toughest?
There are probably a few, you know, that you deal with, especially dealing with addiction, a pain medication, any kind of addiction. There are things that you have to walk through and deal with. I think one of the most difficult things was really taking an honest look at my own life and looking at my own insecurities, my own brokenness, my own pain. It's kind of like lifting the lid off a sewer. At least that's what it felt like, you know, and that you look in and you see things that that you know are not healthy, that you know that God wants to get at. And you walk in denial, you may ignore those things, you try to avoid those things, but one of the issues, one of the things you know about God is he'll always catch up with you. Hmm. He'll always find a way to bring healing about in your life. He's committed to that. And I think the other thing that that was difficult is my response to difficult times, those things that you face in life. You want to just recluse. You want to go. You just want to hide out in your own heart, emotionally and spiritually. And you recognize that what God wants to do is build courage in you, build faith in you to face the hard things that we deal with in life. And one of those hard things was taking time to go to people that I hurt, making amends with people that I hurt during my addiction. And so those were difficult things to deal with, difficult things to face, but I'm just so thankful for God's grace. I am so thankful for his grace, and that his grace always makes a way for all of us. He makes a way.
This is deep stuff. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like the result? So here's God working in your life in the midst of this struggle. What happened? What did it look like? How did God work?
I think there were a few things that happened. One of the things that happened was recognizing that you can't face struggles in life, any kind of struggle in life, on your own. And I had been a solo sapien. You know, I had kind of flown by myself, wanting to deal with issues in life by myself.
Yeah.
And I recognize that you might get away with that for a while, depending on your capacity, your ability to hold it in or hold it together or whatever it looks like. But sooner or later, you run into a wall and you recognize that you need and you're in desperate need of help. And to come to that place, to come to that realization, I think that was a breakthrough. It was not easy. It's not an easy thing for me. I'm more of a private person. I'm more of a probably an introvert, which may surprise some people because of my job. My job requires that I be an extrovert. And naturally, in my personality, I'm not a natural extrovert. I'm more of an introvert, and so things are just more private to me. Yeah. And so coming to those places where I knew I needed to ask for help, that was probably the most difficult thing to do in the process, and to continue to do that. It's something that I'll have to deal with the rest of my life. I recognize that given my personality, given the way that I'm wired, that every day is a struggle not to self-protect. Every day is a struggle not to go, just to go hide out and get into myself. And so every day there's that challenge of saying, I can't do this. I have to keep walking forward, and I have to keep reaching out, and I have to keep acknowledging the fact that I need help every single day. And that's not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing for me. I didn't grow up in a kind of culture that it wasn't a bad culture, but I didn't grow up in a culture where you actually reached out and asked for help. I grew up in a more of an independent culture, a culture that, you know, was you make your own way. You
the kind manly of do, man.
Yeah, it's a kind of a manly world. And the way I grew up and my family of origin, I love them. But I didn't understand that. I didn't understand the practice of confession. And so for me to get on the phone or for me to text somebody during the day that says, hey, just pray for me. If I do that, and I ask some of you, and some of you in here I've done that with, if I'm doing that, I really do need help, and it's probably more of an exercise for me to be able to practice that, because there's a huge resistance in my own heart to ask anyone for help. Just it's huge. It's sometimes in the course of a day it seems insurmountable. It just seems like I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I hate doing that. And yet I have to come to those places where I call Annette. I have some buddies that I talk to. I have people that I go to in this congregation. Some of you are here right now. That I just send a, kind of an SOS out and say, hey, pray for me today. Pray for me today. I need prayer today.
Yeah, I get some of those. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. I think there's two things. One, I've been here about 4 months now, and it's nice. It's not just nice. It's amazing to work with a pastor who has this kind of humility. You don't see this very often, I don't think. I think you see pastors, I think pride knocks on the door a lot because you're up front, and I appreciate your humility. It's been a real encouragement to me. And the second thing is, I really like your sweater.
It's not I hope it's not an ugly sweater.
No.
Good.
I got it for definitely Christmas. Definitely, you're not going to have a problem. Scripture. I find that when I'm going through a tough time, God will speak to me with a passage, and it'll give me focus and something to hang some of my challenges on and some of the things I'm learning. Has there been a scripture that has stood out to you in this?
There have been really two scriptures that I go to every day. I start my day with these two passages of Scripture. One is Psalm 1, and the other is Philippians chapter 2. And I go to these passages every day before I do my other readings or my other my quiet time with the Lord. I have to read these first before, you know, I read anything else or reading the news or reading other passages of Scripture. And they just remind me that I desperately need the Lord, and I need humility in my life. And Philippians chapter 2 speaks of humility. And I know this. I know that if I don't do this every day, I don't know about you, but if I don't do something like this every single day, I'm surprised at how short my memory is. I'm surprised at how you can just continue to go in life and you forget the important things. Mm-hmm. You forget the things that God worked in your life, and you want to hold on to those things. And this is a passage of Scripture that helps me hold on to the things and the lessons that God has taught me. And I never want to forget. I just never want to forget. I remember sitting on my couch about a year and a half ago, and Annette could tell that I was disturbed about something. And she said, "What's bothering you?" And I said, I'm afraid I'm going to forget. You know, I'm afraid that I'm going to forget the lessons that God has taught me. Yeah. And I don't want to forget the lessons that God has taught me, because I've seen it all through history. You see it through the children of Israel. You see it through God's people, where we forget what is really important, the things that really matter. And so it's Philippians. Can I read it?
Yeah. No.
I'll read part of it. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same attitude of mind of Christ Jesus," or that Christ Jesus had. And it goes on and it says and tells us the attitude that Christ had, that he thought it not anything to grasp or hold on to come to be with us. And that's just a reminder of the humility of Christ, and that through his humility, he has given us possibilities.
Yeah.
See, without his humility, we don't have any possibility. Yeah. Someone had to do this. And someone had to go to the lowest low. Someone had to go to the deepest pain and sorrow and hurt. And all, someone had to do that for us, because we wouldn't do that for ourselves. We wouldn't. And so to read this, I'm just reminded, first of all, that he's the trailblazer there.
Yeah.
And that I need to follow him every day.
It's a powerful passage in this context. So we talked about you personally. This kind of thing affects the family. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it has affected you and Annette. What has happened there?
I think probably more of what's happened in me. I've learned one thing: let her speak for herself. So if she gets a chance, she can do that. I think learning how to really have communication and dialogue in ways that we hadn't before. I mean, it was really my lack of courage to go into those places where I knew that if I asked a certain question, I might be the reason for the problem, and nobody wants to really walk into that. And I think over time and through this journey, the Lord has helped me do that and has, let me know that the value of communication, the value of relationship, like asking the question, are you doing okay today? Or how's today going? Or those kinds of things. And I know it sounds simple. I know it sounds kind of maybe even not that deep, but it is for me to be able to go, because I know that keeping that open communication has been really important. Going through Genesis together, we've done that. Being able to sit down with counselor, talking with him, and just being able to hear what each other is processing in life. And that's really been an encouragement. So I think that for Annette and I, things over the last year especially have just continued to grow, get stronger. There's still the struggles. There's still the difficulties. There's still those things you have to deal with, because just simply we're people. And so we've been able to, I think, do that better. I've noticed that there's a lot of grace there.
Yeah. We read that even the professionals, communication is number one in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And yet we still don't get off first base. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. You have adult children. How have you learned to lead your family in the midst of struggle? Mm-hmm.
You know, I think with adult children, I have a son that's 30, another son is 28, and a daughter that's 25. And, you know, obviously it's a different leading adult children than it is leading little children. And little children, you kind of just say, sit down, I have something I want to tell you, and you will listen kind of thing. with your adult children, what I've really wanted to do is be sensitive to the leading of God's Holy Spirit and taking those moments of time that you know you have with them. And that's one thing about just the infilling of God's Spirit in my life, especially in these last few years, in just seeing things that I hadn't seen before, mm-hmm. and be given opportunities that were probably there, but I didn't really see those opportunities, and now I see those opportunities, and just taking time and being able to sit down and get close to them. I mean, in physical proximity, when we start to talk, I don't stay in my seat. Every father and grandfather, they have their seat, and that's, I do too. I have one at home. And I just, getting out of that and coming close to them and just asking them some questions and being honest and open with them in dialogue. The Lord, I think you've heard this maybe, I don't know, but several weeks ago I had an opportunity to sit down with one of my sons and ask him a question. It was a hard question. It was a question that I wasn't sure what the outcome would be. And I just asked him, I said, in the last few years, where is it that I've hurt you? Hmm. What have I done to hurt you? And he just started to talk. And he kind of shared in third person, kind of like a story, that how he feels about people who disconnect from him or don't pay attention to him. And I was listening to this story, and when he was done with his part of the conversation, I went back to that place where he mentioned disconnecting, and I said, you were talking about me, and I need to own that.
Yeah.
It would have been kind of the easy thing to do, just kind of, okay, good, I'm glad you got that out, son. I'm glad you feel better. But I went back to that place, and it was hard. That was hard.
Yeah.
And to say what you were saying was about me, and he started to cry, and he said, yeah. And I said, would you forgive me for the times that I disconnected, for the times that I just wasn't present?
Yeah.
And you could just feel the flood of grace come into that conversation, because I think God honors those times. And he said, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then he did something I didn't expect. He said, 4 or 5 years ago, and he cited a time that he hurt me. And he was very specific about it. And he said, would you forgive me for this time right here? And I had forgotten about that time. He hadn't forgotten about that time.
Yeah.
So I realized that it was something that was weighing him down, something that was bothering him. And the day after I had that conversation, I was in the kitchen. My daughter was there, and it was a difficult season. We went through a difficult season with her. And There were times we just didn't know where she was, and she's now with us at home and walking with the Lord and growing and getting better every day. But we were in the kitchen with each other, and I asked her the same question. Figured I was on a roll, so I just said, "Is there anything that I've done that has hurt you?" And because I want to know, and she said almost the same thing my son did. So there was a pattern there. She said there are times you just disconnected, you know, that you weren't present. And I said, "Would you forgive me for not being present? Because I certainly want to be present in your life." And she, of course, said, "Absolutely." And again, she responded with something that happened 4 or 5 years ago and asked me to forgive her. And what I recognized was the power and the influence of a father, of a grandfather. Yeah. And so dad's in this place, grandfather's in here. I mean, if there's any lesson that I've learned, that there is a tone that's set, that if we do have the courage and we walk into things and into relationships or into situations, and I'm going to say this, that can scare the hell out of you, take a step, you know. You find out that when there's courage, when you have that courage and you take a step in that, God's grace just comes in like a flood. It takes over, and you took one step while God took 10 for you, and that's all he was waiting for. Yeah. It was for you to take that step. So walking into those things and seeing the healing with you know, that process with all our kids, and it's been a joy.
It strikes me that your personality tends to draw back, but if you draw back in the midst of what God is doing or the circumstances of life, when there's no courage, then you just fall. Mm-hmm. And you've chosen the path of courage, and I don't think that's all that common in our day. I think most people tend to choose to retreat instead of to take it on. And I just admire you all the more. We've talked about you. We've talked about your family. What kind of change are we seeing in the church because of what you've gone through?
You know, I think there's probably been a lot of personal healing that has gone on in people's lives. And it's the kind of healing and freedom that that happens that is so personal and so individual that it's not something that you even immediately speak out. It's not a testimony yet. It's one of those things that becomes people are being set free from different things, and they're learning to walk in that freedom. And as they learn to walk into that freedom, then the stories come and the story unfolds. Yeah. And I think that this next year, the words that keep coming to me are freedom.
Yeah.
That God is bringing you opportunities, bringing us opportunities. And I think this, I know that there's always freedom in Christ. Yeah. But I think for a community, that the Lord is opening up this window of time for us. And he's saying, walk in this way, because there's freedom.
Yeah.
And there's going to be freedom for you. There's going to be a greater freedom and a release in your life for whatever that is, whatever is holding you back. And isn't it interesting, sometimes when God points out things in our life and we look at those things, we're the ones that evaluate whether or not to give them to God. You know, because we put them on a scale and say, "Well, that Lord, you're asking me to do this, and that just is really not a very big thing." Well, if God asks you to do it, it probably is a big thing. And how easy it is, I know, and it has been for me to dismiss those things and just say, "Oh, that doesn't really matter. It doesn't really make a difference." And the Lord is saying to me, "You take care of all the details when I point those out to you, and I say you need freedom there. You need freedom there, yeah. And I want to give you freedom." And it might be from an addiction. It might be from alcohol. It might be from narcotics. And it might be from religion. Yeah. You might need to be set free from just this fear-based lifestyle mm-hmm. where you've just closed in. And one thing that I've recognized that we're so prone to in church is theology becomes our God. Hmm. Doctrine becomes our God.
Yep.
It's not your God. God is your God. And I'm asking for freedom, to be set free from whatever that is. If it's fear, if it's anger, if it's control, whatever it is in your life, that I think that I know this, that if you give this over to the Lord, there's going to be great freedom. And what it does is it provides us a wonderful opportunity to become more authentic followers of yep. Christ. And I think that's what I'm praying for, is that we would be more authentic followers of Jesus Christ, that you would walk in just a more open way, a more honest way, a more transparent way. And I know that when we do this, and that God is going to help us, He is going to give us strength. I think that, you know, as a whole, I think the church in our nation, we've atrophied our muscles, our spiritual mm-hmm. muscles yep. have atrophied. And I think there's a reason for that. I think we're very afraid, and I understand it, we're very afraid of anything that brings us, makes us uncomfortable, anything that brings pain to our lives, anything that might bring suffering or hardship, we run from it.
Yep.
We medicate, we find our own hole to live in, and what happens is the spiritual muscles that God wants to build up in our lives during that time, they don't get built up. They get left, and they grow weaker and weaker and weaker. And the only way that we're going to develop strength is to ask God for the courage and the grace to walk through those difficult times and not run from them, but to walk into them and to face them and to watch our spiritual muscles grow. And I recognize it's going to be hard for a lot of people. I see it coming. It's going to be hard for you. And there will be people who run.
Yeah.
But I'm just encouraging us, let's take this opportunity for freedom and grace and become yeah. that follower of Christ. And,
yeah.
and I think that's why small groups accountability is going to be so important, and why I'm so thankful for your leadership in this area, just leading this, because you cannot do this alone. And I'm just going to reemphasize this. You cannot do this alone. You need people in your life that are going to help you. They're going to be a mirror for you in life. You know what happens when you do this alone, and I'm an expert in this? You develop a highly edited version of who you are that isn't accurate. That isn't accurate.
Yeah.
And you want to present that highly edited version to people, especially in church, so for some reason they'll like you more.
Yeah.
I think to get rid of your edited version of who you are and find out who God says you are, and that happens in a relationship with Him, and it happens in the context of community, that's the way you're going to find out. That's the way you're going to grow, and that's going to be a big, big step for some folks.
A while back, a guy asked me, well, what's your church like? Because he knew it was here. Mm-hmm. He said, what's it like? And I was able to say, it's a place where the broken can come and be healed, the bondage, you can get freedom. And I talked like that for a couple minutes. And he came to our church, and he's been back 3 times or so. Mm-hmm. I think what you've been through has resulted in a church where people can bring their friends, and instead of it being a perfect place where they have to be fakes in order to fit in, people can come as they are. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. And it was at great cost to you, but it's worth it. I'm grateful. It's, mm-hmm. I love it. Do you want to say anything about the future, a vision for mm-hmm. what you have, what you sense God saying as we move into the new year?
I think it's always been the same, and it's making disciples and becoming
yeah.
disciples and followers of Christ, and the multiplication, making disciples that make disciples. And I think that's what God is continuing to ask us to do. I just think it's going to be in deeper ways.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little more challenging for us in that. And it is going to happen, again, in the context of our small groups. It's going to happen as we're honest with each other and we spend time with each other and we just do life together. We share life together. And so the focus of this coming year being places where you can go, whether it's a recovery group, whether it's a life group that we're calling them now, our home groups, whether it's Genesis, whatever it might be, yeah. That you would find yourself, that you would go there and submit yourself to a process with yep. other believers. It's going to be huge because I know that there's been great value in my life from that and will continue to be as I do that. That's a practice for me. I can't live life without doing that.
Yep.
And so I think as we go into a new year, I think really being aware of, again, the freedom that God has for you and the infilling of His Holy Spirit in your life to become that that Christ follower that He wants you to be, and doing that in a small group environment. And then we celebrate here on the weekends what God is doing.
I love it. Okay, we need you to pray for us, mm-hmm. and I'm going to turn this over to you as you lead us into the rest of the service. Okay. How's that?
Sure. Thank you. This time of year, when we close out the year, thank you, Dave. Thank you. When we close out our year, we begin a new year. We take communion at the end of the year and at the beginning of the year, so we're going to take communion two weekends in a row. And this weekend is really about God blessing us and equipping us and letting us hear things in our own life to help prepare us for this next year. And I think, and I know this for sure, that God wants to bring blessing to your life. And so in just a moment, as we continue to worship, what we're going to do is you're going to be invited to come to the Lord's table together, and that there are two tables here, there are two tables in the back. And we also will have prayer teams around this building, and they're going to have some anointing oil. And scripturally, there's something so significant about being anointed, especially going into a new year and asking for God's blessing in your life for this new year. And so you can either come to the Lord's table first and then go to be prayed for and have someone pray just a blessing over your life, or you can go and have prayer first and then come to the Lord's table. But what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to step out in faith and just say, Lord, I want to receive that blessing. I want to receive that blessing for me, and I want to receive that blessing for my family. And I want to receive that blessing for my friends. And I want to just speak a blessing over you right now, if I can do that. You heard earlier that Psalm 1 is a scripture that I read every day. I read it before I go to bed at night, and I read it when I get up in the morning. And I want to pray that blessing over you, those first three verses. And one thing that I know is so important for us is the biggest takeaway is that you would be present in the presence of God. That's going to make all the difference in the world in your life. You know, we have a lot of issues we deal with in life. We have a lot of things that we deal with in our community, in our world, in our culture. There are so many things that are going on right now. And we want to, you know, in our hearts, sometimes we want to right the wrongs. But can I say this? Until we really draw close to the Lord and we understand that His presence is where we need to be, it's His presence that makes all the difference in the world. Doing anything else is just doing good things. I understand that, but you have to be in His presence. That's where your strength's going to come from. And if you would just ask God to give you a desire to be in His presence, because I know I can't live without that. It's my very life. This I choose to be in the house of the Lord and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so would you ask God to stir that up? I'm just praying for that passion that what you would want more than anything else is to be in the presence of God, that you would be in His presence. Every Christmas, at Christmas Eve, Annette and I, before the Christmas holiday, we pray over each one of our kids. They give us a scripture, or the Lord gives us a scripture. And we write that scripture down, and then Annette glues it to the back of an old Christmas card and puts a ribbon on it, hangs all these scriptures on the tree. And Christmas Eve, before we open the presents, I go to the tree and just randomly pull off the ornament of scripture on the tree, and I go to each individual family member and I read that scripture for them for this next year. And I took my youngest grandson's scripture off, and he was sitting on the couch, and as I walked to him, he started clapping, and he got so excited that he was going to hear the word of the Lord. And I looked at him and I said, God, please let that be me. I want to be that excited about drawing close to God. I want to be that excited about being in the presence of the Lord and meditating on his word. And so I want to speak this over you if I can. And I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm just going to ask you to look up here. And I want to speak this blessing over you. The word of the Lord says this. It said, blessed is the man, the woman, the family that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But their delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law they meditate day and night. They're like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth its fruit in due season, whose leaf will not fade. And whatever you do, will prosper. Thus saith the word of the Lord to you. That's the blessing. Receive that blessing today. Receive that, would you? When you come to the Lord's table, remember that it's his body and blood that we remember here today, and that you take that bread, and that bread represents his broken body, and that you would just elevate your life to that place and say, Lord, I want to filter my life through your broken body, through your shed blood. And that you would remember that he laid his life down for you. He made a way for you. And that when you take the cup, you would remember that the cup represents the blood of Jesus. And here's what that means to me, that you and me, there's an antidote for sin. You see, it's sin that takes life and breath away from you. It's sin that makes your bones dry up. It's sin that brings diseases that we don't even know about in our life. It's sin that affects us, body, soul, and spirit. But through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you've been given the solution. It's the blood of Jesus. And today we can say, Lord, we come to you and we say we remember your blood, what you've done for us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, examine your own heart. And when you come to the Lord's table, examine your heart, because your heart will be examined. It will be. It will be examined. But if you examine that and say, Lord, I lift this up, I take this, I bring this under your blood. There is a fountain and it's filled with the blood of the Lamb. Come to that place. Come to that place. Bring your prayer requests, your praise reports. You can put them in the containers that are available on all these tables. This is the time that we bring our gifts, our tithe, our offering. It's one of those moments that we can literally do as they did in the Old Testament, as they brought, you know, physically brought their gifts. They were not passive about bringing their gifts, their tithe and offering. They brought it as a worship to the Lord. This is the time that we do that, that you have that opportunity to be generous, because God was generous to you and he's been generous to me and his grace has made a way. And so we come to this place to do that. And we just come and we remember. And I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward. And I'm going to ask our prayer teams if they would make themselves available as well right now. And as I pray, just prepare your heart. Receive the blessing of the Lord today, would you? Receive it with joy like a child. Say, this is your presence, God, is what I desire in my life. And we pray that way. Father, we conclude the year 2014, and it's been different for all of us, but there are the struggles, there are those things that we go through that you're working in our lives because you're committed to us. You're committed to us. You're committed to our well-being. And I want to thank you for this past year where your grace has been astounding. Your freedom is available, that we're free in you. We're free in you. And so, Lord, let us go into this next year with a desire to draw into your presence, to become those authentic Christ followers that really make a difference in this world. That we are and we can be the salt and light. That we can live sideways in a way that touches the world around us. But Lord, we know it starts with your work in us. So let us be open. Let us invite your presence into our lives, and that we would lean into your presence every day. Lord, we come to the table today and we acknowledge your faithfulness. We acknowledge the fact that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' name we pray and we say together, amen. Amen.
You can contact the church office Tuesday through Thursday from 9 to 5 and Fridays from 9 to 3 at 503-266-4444. Please visit us on the web anytime at canbyfoursquare.com. Pastor Ron and others on New Life staff, along with occasional guest speakers, trust that the Holy Spirit will use the message to teach you, encourage you, and give you hope.